Hello and welcome to another episode of OKC Over Easy on the Spy Podcast Network. I'm Mallory Kraft and I'm glad you're here.
To another episode of OKC Over Easy on the Spy FM Podcast Network. This episode is sponsored by Coop Ale Works. So thank you, Coop, for sponsoring OKC Over Easy and keeping it local. Congratulations on the new location on 23rd Street, the old Armory building, which we'll talk about in a little bit. That's going to be our OKC talk section. But welcome to my guest, Greg.
I'm here. What's up, guys?
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well. I've been old part of town, but and I realize this is a thing here.
I don't think Greg comes down here often.
Actually, I do. That's the bad part. I live like 5 minutes away.
So. He was very impressed by the spy. He was like, "Well, I've just never seen this place."
I've driven by here a lot, yeah. So
I didn't know about it until I came and was on one of the radio shows, and then I was like, "Okay, this is a place that you can come and hang out."
Right?
Yeah. Wow. And then Ferris gave me a key, so, you know.
Now it's dangerous.
I know. <Yeah. laughs> That was a weird day. He was like, here's a key. I was like, wow, I think I've graduated.
Yeah. I had like a job in high school, like running the gym. Remember they gave me a key like to open up. I feel like I had so much power.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, okay.
Yeah, that's when you know. That's when you know. Greg is here and he is the CEO, the president, the owner of MyoBrain Performance. And we're going to talk about tracking macros. We're going to talk about nutrition and food and all that kind of stuff. We're going to get into that in a little bit. But tell me, what did you do today? This is a Saturday.
Yeah, my Saturdays are pretty lame.
Okay.
I just like worked out this morning.
Okay.
Sent some emails. I'm going to go to the pool and have some fun.
Good.
Afterwards.
Yeah.
But I tend to work a decent amount on the weekends.
Okay.
And then like Thursday and Friday, I kind of chill.
Oh, so, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
It's a little
you set
different.
Your own schedule because you
do.
Own your own business.
Yeah, which is sometimes difficult to do. People underestimate that.
Yeah.
It's really easy to not work sometimes, you know?
Yeah.
Like on a Tuesday at noon, you're not motivated. It's like,
take a nap.
No one's telling me to go to work.
Yeah.
You know, I have to tell myself every time. So, yeah.
That would be hard. But then you also have that like flexibility too.
Yeah. It could be like a Wednesday at 8:30 p.m. and I'm like, oh, I want to do something.
Right. So
kind of, I mean, you probably still work the same. It's just a lot more sporadic than
broken up.
Typical. And I try to be somewhat regimented, but again, it's hard sometimes. You're not motivated.
Yeah.
To stick to a schedule only you know about. You know?
Yeah. And I'm like very, very regimented because I, you know, have an office job. So it's like either 7 to 5 or 8 to 6. And then I get off at noon on Fridays, which sometimes that just feels like. Sometimes it feels like a 3-day weekend and sometimes it just feels like a throwaway. Like the week was like so long that you're like, well, I guess I have four extra hours, you know, on a Friday. And I'm not in that like party phase anymore. Like I feel like.
Start drinking at 12:01.
Right. Yeah. 5 years ago, I would have been like, all right, you know, let's get this party started at like noon on Friday. But now I just go home and like sweep, you know?
Yep. So. That's how it has evolution, I feel like.
I haven't really done anything either. I took my dog for a walk. We went to the new Starbucks in Nichols Hills. And I was, you know, posting on Instagram, obviously. And the tag, the location tag is Rich White People Starbucks. Like,
wait, really?
Someone had gone on there and grabbed that location, and that's what they named it. Like before Starbucks could get
this
in there.
This is on the Instagram
location.
So if I tap that little thing on there, it would typically say like
Starbucks.
Really?
It says Rich White People Starbucks, which had me cracking up.
That's funny.
And so I'm like, but true though.
Whoever did that should come out and just like say it was him. That's very clever.
I'm like that. Somebody had to plan that because they were building that Starbucks.
Right, they would have to know
for a while.
Some inside info.
Yeah. So we did that and then went back home, did some stuff around the house, and then came out here. But I was cracking up.
Dang. Makes me want to go there now.
You should.
Although I did go there and the Wi-Fi was kind of, it was like their first weeks. Maybe it wasn't awesome yet. But I'm also not a big fan of like, I don't know if it's like their new modeling system. So I think the one by Torchy's.
Okay.
Somewhat new.
Uh-huh.
They have like that huge long table mm-hmm. for sitting.
Yeah.
And then they just have like this background of open seats mm-hmm. kind of. I feel like I'm like in a library, like having to sit with like a table with people.
Right.
This feel like I feel like more like segmented.
It also feels very bigger city to me, like that there's a lot. Like in Chicago, like
they need that seat.
Yeah, yeah, there's yeah, a lot more don't. People that are coming in and like working on their laptops. No, we don't. Like, we don't need that. But no though. One, yeah,
it's not here.
Everyone's in their house in Yukon, and they're like not coming to this Starbucks right. to do work. Yeah, I got you. I didn't really. I just went in, grabbed my coffee, and came back out because I tied my dog up. But yeah, this is rich white people. So that was
not. Not false.
Not false. So we're going to jump into the first segment, and that's Eat of the Week. Do you have something that you've been eating lately that you're into or a restaurant? I don't really have anything this week.
It's not new. Mm-hmm. It's kind of just like a little throwback. I've been doing some overnight oats.
Okay.
And it's mainly just like a laziness thing because mm-hmm. I have this huge discrepancy between I love breakfast and mm-hmm. breakfast food the most.
Okay,
like,
yeah.
Just hands down the most. But I hate cooking in the morning. Mm-hmm. I hate like, I just want to just like grab a coffee and
yeah.
Read or something. I don't want to like manually do stuff in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like, meh.
Yeah.
And I usually my laziness wins.
Yeah.
So doing the overnight oats where I can just prepare it and then like, I literally just grab it out of my fridge.
Yeah.
Like add protein powder, mix it up, and mm-hmm. I'm like,
good to go.
2 minutes of my morning and yeah. not 30 minutes of my morning. So
overnight oats are also good because in the summer they're cold.
Right. That's true. I didn't think about that, but
you're not like heating your body up like you would with regular oatmeal.
Yeah.
Do you put any like fruit or anything on it or just like straight up oats?
And my recipe is like oats, peanut butter, some vanilla Greek yogurt.
Mm-hmm.
Think that's it. Oh, some like unsweetened cocoa powder.
Mm-hmm.
And then I will just put that in the refrigerator. I don't really have like a reason for why I do this. I just don't think it would mix well. And I leave that there and I just add a like a chocolate whey protein
mm-hmm.
in the morning. So I don't think that's very soluble to like leave.
Yeah.
So I would just put that in last minute.
Protein powder acts weird sometimes. It's not. Yeah. It's not the.
So you put it in the fridge and
yeah.
cool it. Yeah. So I just put that last second. And it's pretty good for a breakfast. You don't have to really. I can do it in 5 minutes at night and then it's done.
Tomorrow, yeah. You know? I'm not a huge overnight oats person just for the texture aspect. I'm not a huge oatmeal person yeah. either. Like every so often I'll go for it, but that I usually go for eggs in the morning. So like a hard boiled egg or scrambled eggs or whatever. So I'm more of an egg person.
Yeah.
But overnight oats sometimes are a nice cool treat
right.
for a summer day.
Someone could cook me some eggs and bacon and pancakes. I would
yeah. that. Yes, takes, I would like
takes
that
more
too.
Time.
Yeah. I like biscuits and gravy. That's probably like my favorite. Yeah. I did go to Hop Dottie okay. last weekend.
That's the cool thing right now.
Yeah. Yeah. It is. They offered me like to go as like a media
yeah.
person. So we went and delicious. I mean, just as good. I had eaten at the one in Austin a couple years ago, but just as good as the one in Austin. They were like, order however many burgers you want. So okay. we got four burgers and then we split them in fourths and we ended up with like half of that gone. So we each probably had one burger
right.
each. And French fry. Everything's good. Everybody should go eat there. It's just kind of stepping up Oklahoma City a little bit more, you know,
yeah.
Restaurant wise. So glad that they're here. I'm gonna do a blog post next week about it. So look out for that. And then next week I will be releasing my Breakfast Battles newsletter, and we're going to talk about cereal. So, Ooh. Do you have a favorite cereal?
I do love cereal. Probably, if I had one cereal just the last day of my life, it'd mm-hmm. be Captain Crunch.
Okay.
But I hate that. Just ruins your mouth
oh
and
my,
your teeth.
Yeah.
I don't know how that happens.
I know.
But it does.
Yeah.
Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
Mm-hmm.
I was big Reese Puffs growing up, but I think I just ate too much of it. Now mm-hmm. I just can't do anymore, but
yeah,
Captain Crunch is usually my go-to.
It's so funny because I have a lot of listeners that are millennials. So I have gotten so much feedback on cereal. Like whenever I ask about it,
right.
I did like a cereal survey and I had like 150 responses. I'm like, that's insane.
Different types?
It was kind of like, do you like cereal? What do you eat cereal with? Did your parents let you eat cereal? A lot of people, and I was the same way, their parents did not let them eat sugary cereal. My mom was like, you have to pick out a cereal that's lower than like 3 grams of sugar per serving or something. So now as an adult, I only like Cheerios, Chex, like all the ones that are like very bland. Yeah. It's truly interesting.
I had friends like that were like Honey Nut Cheerios were their treat.
Right. Like, and like, I don't even like, now I don't like Honey Nut Cheerios.
Dang, okay. You guys are living over there.
So that was one of the questions on the survey. I was like, do you resent your parents now? Because they wouldn't let you eat sugary cereal.
Yeah.
Yeah. In the same way with like Coke, my parents never let me drink Coke or anything. So growing up, I don't even.
You use Coke as a category for all soda? It's like a Texas thing, right?
Well, I think of Coke as
Colas
and like full sugar sodas. So my dad has diabetes, so he would always have Diet Coke in the house.
Right.
So like there's Coke, which is like Dr. Pepper, Pepsi, all that kind of stuff. And then there's Diet Coke, which is just Diet Coke.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
But like Mountain Dew is Mountain Dew.
Right. Yeah. But then when I grew up, I was like, I can take it or leave it. Like sometimes I'll have a Diet Coke, but you know.
Right.
So next up is Grocery Gab. And this is where I kind of just talk about any grocery store news. I just kind of want to ask you, where do you grocery shop?
I mainly do Trader Joe's because that's a proximity thing. I live really close to Trader Joe's and Whole Foods, but the Whole Foods prices are,
you're right.
They're up there, right? So Trader Joe's, I think, is a really good alternative. I really even shop the Whole Foods ever, to be honest with you, because I see stuff and I'm like, I can't do this.
Yeah.
And then I really like Uptown, but I'm just pretty far away from that now. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of, I like their like meat section there. I can get something more than just like regular beef or regular chicken because I'm a pretty lazy cooker.
Mm-hmm.
So if I can get some like pre-marinated something or something like that, it just helps me not eat bland
food
all the time. So I typically do Trader Joe's, and if I want to splurge, I'll drive up to Uptown.
Okay.
But
okay.
I'm pretty structured with that. I don't really, like, my roommate went to, like, the new Homeland, and I don't really venture out too much unless I, like, need to find something specific. I'll go to Target sometimes to get, like, Kodiak cakes or something that's a little bit more, like, a specialty item.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Yeah. I love a Trader Joe's trip. I like Aldi too, because I feel like it's like a Trader Joe's hack.
Right.
This week, actually yesterday, BuzzFeed posted an article and it was best frozen foods at Trader Joe's. And it was like the BuzzFeed Tasty or whatever. And I got the email and it was my photo of my basket with my hand in the article. Like they had gone onto Instagram and they had found that picture and they used it for everything, but they like didn't credit me. So I was like, why? It was so upsetting. But I'm like, that's my hand on BuzzFeed. There it is.
Now you can prove that to your attorney.
I like emailed them. I like sent them a message.
It's definitely a white girl's hand.
I was like, dang. I could have gotten so many more follows on Instagram from that.
What did you know if you like hashtag something specifically, they probably found it?
Which this is real. There's Trader Joe's like fan accounts. So like people that just absolutely love Trader Joe's, they repost pictures like that. So one of them reposted it and then they credited that one. So I was like, It was upsetting. I do love Trader Joe's though. Excited to see what happens in October when the wine comes because they have like a little sign there and it's like wine is coming and they have like a countdown. It'll be very interesting.
Which show is that?
Winter is coming.
Is that a play on that?
Yeah.
I think it probably is.
Yeah. I don't have any grocery store news. I've been doing Aldi and Sam's. But nothing too big to report. So the next segment is the OKC Talk segment. I wanted to talk about Coop Ale Works. They are moving from out in the boonies to 23rd Street. And they are going to redevelop the old armory building on 23rd. And they're turning it into a brewery. I think there's going to be a restaurant and maybe a hotel in it. I'm not sure what the... Let me find this. I'll edit this out.
That's a...
Yeah, 22-room boutique hotel. That's jump. Cool, right?
Is it going to be like 5 rooms in or something? Or?
It's 22 rooms. Yeah.
That's clever.
I think it's great. Coop is such a huge presence in the Oklahoma craft beer. I mean, probably the biggest presence in the Oklahoma craft beer scene. So they are just kind of taking it to the next level, which I think is really cool, all this new development. So congrats to them. Okay, so let's talk about you. Mm-hmm. Tell me a little bit about yourself, what you do, and all that kind of stuff.
Cool spiel. Yeah, so
do the spiel.
Yeah, MyoBrain kind of or super organically started when I was like a sophomore in college. Mm-hmm. I was in school for health, general stuff, and I got into the macro scene very, mm-hmm. very early.
Yes.
It's like 20, I was probably tracking my macros like in 2010.
Okay.
And then became really comfortable with it like 2012, 2013. Mm-hmm. I did a bodybuilding show. Mm-hmm. This was when probably one of the first years of Instagram too, where like your photos looked awful and like mm-hmm. everyone's caption was like 6 words or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
If you go back and
had the border around.
Yeah. And if you go back and look at your photos, it was cool when you had like 10 likes because no one was on Instagram. So it was just like, it was very different ballgame. And I would post like my meals mm-hmm. and I would post like the macros with it. So mm-hmm. I'd put like 10, 14, 54 or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd post meals of me eating like, again, I was kind of that person where mm-hmm. I was a little bit showing off of like eating ice cream and getting leaner and having like cake and getting leaner. So again, the macro thing was so new. People were very confused mm-hmm. on how I was eating this type of food and still getting leaner and doing like, you know, very extreme thing of doing a bodybuilding show where you're getting to like single digits body fat. Right. So I kind of got some traction from that. I started just to like, not from a business perspective, kind of just like, this is what I'm doing, like mm-hmm. posting my exercises and posting recipes, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
I would do some educational content on free for YouTube.
Okay.
So just like how to set up your macros and like my stuff I did this week.
Mm-hmm.
And I would just get like messages from people about wanting help. Mm-hmm. And then I set up like an email account and I would just answer people's questions for free. And then one day I was like, man, this is like 5 people and I'm a student, so I was mm-hmm. like, I charge them like $20 a month or something, just ridiculously low.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, we'll see it. And then it really just kind of grew off of referrals from that, and mm-hmm. I had no idea what I was doing, mm-hmm. right? I'm like a 19-year-old getting emails from, like, you know, it seemed weird to me, but like a 35-year-old wanted me to like help them with nutrition. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I'm just a little kid.
Yeah,
but sure.
Yeah, I don't know that much.
And yeah, so I just kind of organically built MyoBrain. It was very big with bodybuilding physique type of clients mm-hmm. initially, because that's what I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
And then throughout my years of college, I built up MyoBrain to be big enough. I didn't have to have like a college job, mm-hmm. right? I did personal training at our rec center.
Okay.
But other than that, I didn't like work at our Starbucks or Applebee's or whatever. It was mm-hmm. enough for me to like pay my bills essentially, which was nice.
Mm-hmm.
And then it became, a good enough money when I graduated. I probably could have like given it a shot already,
mm-hmm.
but I was still a little bit hesitant about full bore, just doing that, no other job. So, applied to some grad schools. That's what brought me here to Oklahoma City. Mm-hmm. I went to the Health Science Center for Nutrition and Dietetics.
Okay.
So cool. I got my master's there for a year and a half. MyoBrain really started to pick up when I got here and just got surrounded by more people locally.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up in a super small town, and even my college town was really small. So
mm-hmm.
almost all of my clients were not local.
Okay.
And then I got here and I just like got a ton of local clients mm-hmm. along with the people from across the world. So mm-hmm. by the time I graduated grad school, I was having 100% a full-time gig and trying to like hold my water mm-hmm. with school. So, I did my grad school stuff in nutrition, did like a 9-month internship with a whole bunch of rotations. And by that time, I was definitely ready just to do MyoBrain. So since 2016, maybe December of 2016, so pretty much just 2017, year and a half. Mm-hmm. I've been just doing MyoBrain stuff from there. So again, it wasn't like, I wish it was like a cooler thing of like I had this, you know, grand plan or whatever, mm-hmm. but really I just documented my stuff. People were asking me questions and just like building a website and taking on clients and all this stuff just been something organically. I've just tried to like listen to podcasts and mm-hmm. read books about and become more business savvy with stuff. I've always been interested in nutrition and fitness side of things, but mm-hmm. becoming more business savvy has been not my, you know, route I was expecting to go. So that's kind of the origin mm-hmm. of MyoBrain, how it kind of begun.
Yeah. Can you tell me, and the listeners, a little bit about, I guess, how counting macros originated and then actually what it is?
Yeah, so I may butcher this a little bit, but this is my understanding that back in like, I wasn't around on the internet in these days, but I think it was probably like that 05 to 08 range is when mm-hmm. it like started.
That's when I was exclusively on the internet.
Okay, so there were like these, I would never really do this, but there's things called like forum. I know what a forum is, but uh-huh. I never like posted on a forum or whatever.
Right.
So there were bodybuilding.com, which is like the biggest fitness website ever for mm-hmm. not just like supplements, but a lot of people like would learn about mm-hmm. Nutrition and training advice from people on there. So you kind of had like some head honchos, usernames, you knew, like these people knew their stuff.
Right.
And it kind of always
and
comment.
They had all the little stars next to it.
Yeah. So when this person commented, you're like, okay, he knows about training chest or whatever it was. So apparently there was a whole bunch of people that would ask very like topical questions, meaning should I eat brown rice or white rice? Uh-huh. Or what time should I have breakfast? Uh-huh. Or what sort of carbohydrate should I have for my workout? And they weren't getting the big picture, which is that your body composition, you know, gaining muscle and losing fat is really more about the totality of what you eat throughout the day and throughout the weeks and long term. And they're mm-hmm. getting just too caught up in these really micromanaging of things.
Yeah.
So this guy came up with an acronym, IFYM.
Okay.
To kind of just quickly post on stuff when people would ask those questions.
Mm-hmm.
And he would kind of explain it of, if it fits your macros, then you can eat it.
Okay.
Right? Meaning like if it's brown rice or white rice and you have that many carbs to eat for the day,
mm-hmm.
whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And that's sort of the origin of it. And then what, 10 years later, at least now, it's becoming, you know, turned into something not so awesome where it's essentially not if it's white rice or brown rice, can you eat it? But it's like how much junk can I eat and essentially still hit my numbers. But that's been... At least from my understanding, that was the origin of it. I have no idea who that like person was. It probably was more of a group of people
mm-hmm.
that really started to popularize it. And then people that I kind of heard it from were like Lyle McDonald mm-hmm. and Alan Aragon, who were older researchers now, probably like in their 40s and 50s. And they're more hard science type of guys. Mm-hmm. And then a lot of people like, I'm certainly a very small fish, but people like myself and other people who are a little bit younger,
mm-hmm.
I've kind of more popularized it with mm-hmm. social media and writing ebooks and stuff like that. So.
It's very interesting to me that it was born kind of out of the internet and like out of, it's like totally different than, you know, any other diet that you can think or way of eating.
It was
you
essentially a quick way to explain to people why it was okay for them to eat white rice and not mm-hmm. brown rice. And he could have written a 20-page ebook on why it was the case, but mm-hmm. it's obviously a lot easier to give someone, if it fits your macros, you can eat it.
They're
like, okay, that means I can have it. And then
that
applies to really any food decision. You know, can I have milk? Because dairy is bad for me. Mm-hmm. It would apply to that. You know, mm-hmm. so it was kind of his really simple way of giving some people some good advice, you know?
Okay, cool. So just do, I guess, like a little rundown of like what it means to track your macros. Because we started, you and I started, I was like, okay, I'm going to track my macros. I probably got 3 or 4 weeks into it and I was like, okay, this is great. And then I just like fell off the wagon. It was in a time where my job was a little bit stressful and I was like not focused on it. And I was like, I don't want to keep stringing you along and being like, I'm dedicated to this when I'm really not. But I thought it was a great experiment, just to see how my body reacted to it and like how my mind reacted to it, and also just to put it in practice for for a few weeks. So I thought it was awesome. So thank you for coaching me those
times. I think one of the, you know, it's certainly all my nutrition clients track, not maybe their macros, but they track something for me because I'm just a very analytical person. Mm-hmm. And I do think the people that would enjoy tracking their macros mm-hmm. tend to be more analytical people. Mm-hmm. I have worked with some people who are like fit people mm-hmm. or in shape people trying to get more in shape. Mm-hmm. And they just try it out because it's, you know, a little bit more popular and fatty now.
Yeah.
And they don't like tracking stuff on their phones. Mm-hmm. They're not number people. They're not spreadsheet people. Yeah. There's nothing wrong with that. Yeah. Like, it just may not be the, some people are really good about just like having a flow and habits and how they feel.
Yeah.
And that's
how your clothes fit.
Right. And that's how it works for them. But, really for a lot of people, it's, I would say a last resort, mm-hmm. but it's okay. Like, you tried really simple rules, like eating every 3 hours, mm-hmm. or you try not having dairy, like those, mm-hmm. like these simple things. And when you track your macros, assuming whoever you're working with is doing their job correctly and, mm-hmm. and you're patient with it, it's like a surefire way to improve your physique, mm-hmm. right? Because you can go on paleo or go on keto or whatever and just eat foods mm-hmm. and hope you're in a calorie deficit to lose weight.
Right.
But if you're tracking your calories and your macros, you're going to be in a deficit.
You know, right? Yeah,
so
you know
it, exactly. It is more work up front for people. Mm-hmm. But for those people who have, you know, kind of tried a whole bunch of things and then they're like, okay, I'm going to invest some time in it. Mm-hmm. It can kind of be a life changer for those people, I think.
You know? Yeah. And when you track macros, you're talking about tracking your macronutrients.
Yes.
And you're tracking your carbs, your protein, and your fat.
Right.
So if it fits your macros, I guess. So like you look at the nutritional information in, you know, a protein bar or a, you know, cup of white rice or whatever. And then you make sure that fits your numbers for the day. So how do you determine the numbers for your different clients?
Right. So yeah, that's really a measure. When people work with me, they fill out a questionnaire and I get things like their height and their weight and their age, how many hours a week they work out, mm-hmm. what they do for a living, because that's like their activity level.
Right.
It's almost actually more important than your exercise, because if you have a very physically demanding job for 8 hours a day, that's going to burn a lot of calories. Mm-hmm. Or if you just sit down for 8 hours a day, that's minimal.
Right.
So I get all of these factors and then I create a rough estimate of what I think they should start off with. Mm-hmm. Without going into too many details, when people track their macros with me, they do tend, most people at least, not everyone, probably maybe a core of my clients don't do this, but most people go with a sort of low fat, moderate carb, high protein intake. Mm-hmm. And it's all relative, right? For someone who's, you know, a 230-pound male, mm-hmm. low fat could be 85 grams. And for someone that's a 105-pound female, low fat could be 45 grams,
that's
right?
But it's very low.
Right. But it's relative, though, into their overall food. Right. It's going to be low fat, moderate carb, high protein. Mm-hmm. And obviously, again, without too much sciencey stuff, you're figuring out someone's calorie intake. Mm-hmm. And then all macros are is breaking that calorie number into a certain amount of fat, carbs, and protein, right? Mm-hmm. So if you've tracked your calories before, like you said, you did Weight Watchers, mm-hmm. correct?
Yeah.
Which is essentially
the same
number form of tracking your calories.
Yeah.
You've also tracked your macros and vice versa, because you cannot track your macros without tracking your calories.
Yeah.
So once someone's in that deficit, though, and this is a bigger conversation for people who, most people's goal is to lose weight, mm-hmm. you have to find whatever habits, trends you need to do to consistently be in that calorie deficit. Mm-hmm. That's how any diet is going to effectively work. Mm-hmm. If your friend did keto or paleo or whatever for 6 months and lost weight, that worked for them because they can consistently be in that calorie deficit.
Right.
And I'm not saying that everyone's going to have the same exact habits to be in that calorie deficit, but that's what has to occur, right? And the reason for my low-fat, moderate-carb, high-protein template for a lot of people is that tends to keep them the most full mm-hmm. while they're still in a calorie deficit. There's a lot of factors why people go off of their diet and mm-hmm. just eat too much and then stop making progress, mm-hmm. but constantly being hungry is certainly one of them. Mm-hmm. So if I can have one group of people say eat, or two groups of people say eat 2,000 calories, mm-hmm. but one person's more on like a high fat, moderate carb, low protein, other person's like low fat, moderate carb, high protein, the higher protein group, mm-hmm. lower fat group's going to be more full. Therefore, they're going to be able to sustain that deficit for a much longer time period, right? So that's something that I think people need to be wary of. And it's just really about food volume, meaning if you put those two diets I talked about of maybe say a higher fat, low protein diet mm-hmm. versus a low fat, high protein diet, and you put those 2,000 calorie diets on the table, the high protein foods are going to take up so much more space. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can literally eat a lot of food, yeah. like food mass, mm-hmm. without eating a whole bunch of calories,
right.
which can really just help people sustain that deficit for a long time.
Yeah, so they're not hungry all the time.
Right, and that's certainly going to be beneficial for their adherence mm-hmm. to that.
I have a bunch of like the typical questions, so yeah. I think I'm going to go through that. So you typically track macros, and when you mentioned Weight Watchers, I thought this was really interesting. You do it on your phone or, you know, MyFitnessPal or whatever. And when I think about Weight Watchers, when I did it, they didn't have the app. So yeah. it was like
harder,
you
yeah.
literally did it in like a little book. You had a tiny little calculator, like you couldn't yeah. just search. So I tracked the macros in MyFitnessPal, and you could see what your breakfast, lunch, dinner, snack was each day. So that's basically like where you typically track them. Yeah.
Yeah. Most of my clients use MyFitnessPal. Mm-hmm. Another big one is called My Macros Plus mm-hmm. that some people like. I generally like MyFitnessPal because it tends to be the biggest database when you go and like eat out.
Okay.
So if you're going, obviously, if you go to something local, it's not going to have something in there. But if you go to Chick-fil-A or you mm-hmm. go to Chipotle or something like that, it's going to be in MyFitnessPal. Mm-hmm. So it tends to be more flexible to people's diets. Mm-hmm. And like you said, the time we live in now, it is so incredibly easy to track those sort of things.
Right.
Like I remember in high school when I tracked my calories for the first time, I did it on like, and I'm not that, I'm 26. I'm not old. I mean, I'm not old. And, I did that and I look back and be like, I don't know if I'd put that much effort into it again. If
yeah.
I had to, like it was so, I'd like do the math by myself mm-hmm. and like all of that. So yeah, I mean, being able to, like I said, if you work with someone, they say you should have 200 carbs a day mm-hmm. and you just go into MyFitnessPal and not even like trying to eat healthy, but just track what you have for breakfast. Like I had 2 eggs and mm-hmm. half a cup of oatmeal, and it'll literally just tell you how many fat, carbs, and protein are in that food.
Right.
And that's kind of just helps people from an educational standpoint of a lot of people, you know, we grow up in a world where it's usually more binary. Mm-hmm. It's apples are good and whole grains are good mm-hmm. and then ice cream is bad.
Right.
But our physiology is way more complicated than that.
Mm-hmm.
So you may have been told growing up that a whole grain bagel is quote unquote healthy. Mm-hmm. So you get that every time you go to Starbucks.
Right.
And then you track that one day and it's 65 grams of carbs. Mm-hmm. And I tell you should have 200 a day. You're mm-hmm. like, that's like a third of my carbs
right.
at 8 a.m.
Yeah.
You know, so you learn maybe the things you thought were, you know, healthy for you, maybe aren't as healthy. Mm-hmm. Maybe there's something like strawberry.
Your husband to take pictures of you. And like, because I'm always like, Mike, will you take a picture of me? And he's like, and I'm like, that's the worst angle. I'm like, I need to start a Instagram boot camp for boyfriends and husbands. I like had to hire someone to take my pictures for like my blog and podcasts and stuff. I'm like, you could do this for free, so you owe me.
Yeah, I don't know.
You just like doing it.
Yeah, it's I mean, it took time.
It's fun
I think
to learn.
Early on, like
we used to only take pictures of food.
Yeah,
and so
true.
We would come back from vacation and people would be like, let me see your pictures, and be like, oh, look at this delicious breakfast we have. Like,
yeah, it was
like, there's
food
no
or like
about
the view from the hotel.
Yeah.
And it was like, there's no evidence
of
us
you
being there.
Yeah.
You know? And we're like,
we just Googled this, like,
yeah.
uploaded
yeah.
these videos, these photos to our phone, and pretended like we went. So we kind of have been making an effort
to take more photos.
I've definitely softened over time. I think there was a point where I was like, oh, like, another picture. I know you're not going to like it. Yeah. You're going to make me take it again.
I hate every picture this
week. Mm-hmm. It was kind of like that. And now I think it's come full circle where I'll be taking a picture of her and I'm telling her, like, no, like, turn this way. Like, I need to get this into the shot and, like, go that way. But, you know, I think it also started where the blog was more of, it was more Casey's blog at first.
You know?
And then over the years, it's definitely been more of a collaboration and we both have more ownership in it. And mm-hmm. I think over time, I felt more ownership in it. So, you know, I take pictures of her. I take pictures of everything. And mm-hmm. I ask her to take pictures of me sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I like to ham it up, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I don't know. I mean, I think it's just a shared mutual interest in what we were doing and trying to get more of our own, like, personality into it as well and actually have some proof that we're actually at some of these places.
Well, what are your favorite parts about traveling?
For us, it's definitely experiencing a new culture, mm-hmm. kind of trying to live like the locals do, like, mm-hmm. like Tom was saying. We always try to, we're not big fans of doing the big, tourist wait in line, mm-hmm. go on a tour type of thing. Like, we really kind of want to integrate into what people are doing and eating.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
What do you hate, though, about traveling?
Leaving our dog.
Oh, the baby. What's your dog's name?
Ashton.
Okay, you guys got to follow them on Instagram. It's the Tasty Escape, right?
The Tasty Escape, yeah. And
Ashton.
Waffles and Whiskey is Tom.
Okay, yeah, Waffles and Whiskey. And you are, what's yours again?
Just the Tasty Escape.
Okay.
Yeah, our dog is actually pretty well traveled. He came with us to Brazil, which was a lot of paperwork and some crazy things to get him in and out of customs and stuff. But yeah, he's been to all over Brazil. He's been to.
This is like one of what it kind of looks like, and then you go to the bar and order or whatever, and they have milkshakes and all sorts of stuff. So. I'm really excited about it. I think it'll do really well in both of those locations. The one by Nichols Hills is like right by my house, so I'm excited about that. So the only thing, I think that's it. Do you have any other that you're like, oh, I know they're coming and I'm excited about this?
I don't. And is it just because I don't hear any of like the good news? When something's coming to Norman, it's just like, oh, another very small Tex-Mex place. Like, is it closer than the other one I go to? No? Okay, I won't go there.
Great. Well, you did write a great article for The Lost Ogle, which Marissa used to write for The Lost Ogle. She's in retirement. She's out of retirement right now.
I am, because the owner of The Lost Ogle, Patrick, he just had a daughter. Aww. And so he is currently doing paternity leave.
Okay.
Which is weird
what
in the blogosphere.
What if something crazy happens?
I think he's like hoping it doesn't. Although something kind of crazy did happen, so he did write about it. Like,
oh, okay.
When they found out the health department didn't need to have budget cuts.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I was reading so much, because my friend Sarah worked for the Norman Health Department. I like could not stop reading about it. Like,
it's absurd.
It's insane. And I work in like systems, so I'm like, how could their accounting system be MS-DOS based? How?
I don't. Well, let me tell you this. The FAA, Federal mm-hmm. Aviation Administration or whatever, I used to design training courses for them in my past life. And we had to make everything operational on, what was it? Windows 8. And this was in like 2013. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I don't know.
That's insane. I could not stop reading about it the other day. So that's it. That's for another pod. That's for, what's that one podcast that they talk about Oklahoma stuff? Sorry for the Inconvenience or something. I can't remember what it's called. So you wrote a post and it's about the best snow cone flavors. So everybody needs to go on and read it, but I have a bone to pick.
Yes.
About, first of all, one of the flavors you said would be really good is ranch dressing, obviously.
I mean, I would drink it.
Like, you said the Hidden Valley is garbage.
Okay, let me explain. Like, I can appreciate it as a pre-made ranch option.
Right.
However, like, if that is your pinnacle of ranchdom, I want you to branch out. Branch your ranch.
I mean, you said Mazio's or Hideaway, which is both great ranches. Mm-hmm.
I have a friend that used to work for Mazio's when she was in high school, and she taught me the recipe.
Well, what is it?
Can I say it on?
Yeah.
Okay. I think it's like, this is what I... It's like one
Listen
part
up, everyone.
Mayonnaise, one part buttermilk, and then the ranch,
mm-hmm.
and then you whisk it like crazy.
All right, I'll be making that then. Mm-hmm. I did go out with a guy on Tinder, and he was like, I used to work at Mazzio's for like 12 years, and he texted me the recipe, and then I like never heard from him again.
he was the rancher. He gave you what you needed and left your life.
Right.
That's more than most Tinder dates will do. Let's be real.
I'm very lucky. And then Brahm sauce. What is that?
Have you never had Brahm sauce?
No.
Oh my God, I'm so excited that I get to introduce this to you. So you've had Cane's sauce, right?
Yeah.
At Raising Cane's. So it's kind of like that, but I like Brahm sauce.
A calorie count. And, you know, I try to make sure that I have, you know, a healthy option if I go out. If I splurge and I go wild, mm-hmm. you know, for a couple of days, and you know, I gotta go
get
hard
it, get it back. Yeah. So I just finished the Whole 30, which have you heard of that?
Uh-uh.
It's a 30-day elimination diet, and you eliminate sugar, all refined sugar. You eliminate dairy, wheat, legumes, all sorts of stuff. So basically,
what's legumes?
Beans.
Okay.
And peanuts. Okay. So basically, you only eat animal proteins, so meat and fruits and vegetables and healthy fats, so like oils, avocado, nuts, stuff like that. So then this is like the first weekend that I'm like not on the program, so yeah. It's like Taco Bell, please.
Yeah, no doubt.
I like that 80-20 life. I can't not eat.
It's
I was
hard.
Miserable. I
mean, it's hard, you know. And the crazy thing is that there are some people that they could just eat whatever they mm-hmm. want, and they're fine, you know. And you know, I'm just like, even my family, like, we aren't like, it's just not in my genetics to be like that.
Yeah.
It's not in my DNA.
Mine
it's, I always work on it for the rest of my life, and mm-hmm. And you know, and I'm getting older. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So yeah,
that's overwhelming sometimes, but yeah. Sometimes it's like, I don't know. So how much should a Dez salad cost? Is what she asked.
Oh, it should, man.
I saw a picture.
She made me a good salad.
What was in it?
It had pears.
Nice.
I think it had like some blueberries or strawberries in it. The dressing she made homemade.
Mm-hmm.
It was good.
Good.
And the greens were dark green. I like whenever you have a salad and they're dark.
Yeah.
Man, I would say if it's the size that I had, I got full off of it.
Mm-hmm.
I would say like $8.50 to $10.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Everybody hit up Dez for Dez salad.
I really want her to do like at least like, cause that's one thing like with meal prepping.
Mm-hmm.
Like I cook for that night and that's mm-hmm. it. You
okay.
know?
Yeah.
I need to do better at meal prepping, but. If I need to get on those programs. People just, you just pay them and they do it for
yeah.
you.
So. I kind of am forced into it. It's my work schedule are 7 to 5. So it's I have to, unless I get meals at the cafe, which we have a cafe in our office. So that's nice. Okay. So let's wrap it up. I'm going to ask you one more question. And maybe you can give me a hint about what you were talking about earlier. What concepts would you like to see, what restaurant concepts would you like to see in Oklahoma City?
I would like to see a poke concept.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
I would like to see a fun ice cream concept.
Mm-hmm.
My daughters love ice cream. And I would, look who's calling me.
Yes.
Poke concept, maybe a cool new pizza concept.
Okay, okay.
and like a different kind of burger concept. I feel like, you know, we have onion burgers,
mm-hmm.
and then we have restaurants who make burgers. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But
there's no like super fun burger. When I go to S&B, like I get so overwhelmed by the menu. Yeah. I'm like, I can't, and I don't.
Why? I end up taking this burger, mixing it with that burger. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But like I want something that's just crazy, like, you know, like you can get a pizza with like hot Cheetos on it. You know what I'm saying? Like something like that, you know. You can get hot wings, you know, with and they may add a, you know, sriracha. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? Like just cool stuff that, you know, are just fun and different.
Yeah.
You know, but
okay.
Yeah.
Well, is there anything that you'd like to plug, or everybody can follow JB Likes Food or JB Loves Food, whichever one pops up.
I like it with the same. JB Likes Food, because I already made the logo for it.
Oh, yeah. You don't have to change that.
So JB Likes Food. Yeah, we'll have some announcements come in pretty soon.
Okay.
Some stuff I'm working on. But yeah, just follow mine. You can follow Andy Nguyen. He and I. And a couple other people working on some dope stuff for the city. So.
Awesome. Yeah. I'm excited. As always, you can follow OKC Over Easy at OKC Over Easy on Instagram, which is where I mainly hang out. On Twitter, there's a Facebook page, but I just post the show usually whenever it goes up on the Facebook page. And then you can go to OKCOverEasy.com. You can also sign up for the newsletter. The first newsletter already went out on Monday, but if you want it, just let me know. OKCOverEasy.com/breakfastbattles. This one was pancakes versus waffles. So if you'd like to sign up for that, just go to that link. And thank you, JB, for coming on. And I had a great time. So we will see you guys next time.